This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Tens of thousands of demonstrators marched through the Iraqi city of Basra today. They were supporting the position of Iraq's most influential Shiite Muslim cleric that elections choose members of a transitional assembly. American officials and members of the U.S.-appointed Iraqi Governing Council are struggling to find a formula to transfer sovereignty in Iraq by the July 1st target date. There are some signs the cleric's demand for elections could delay the transfer. From Baghdad, NPR's Emily Harris reports.
The American plan for giving formal control of Iraq back to Iraqis has a tight timetable. Local caucuses, yet to be selected, would pick members of a transitional parliament by the end of May. That parliament would have a month to choose a new government, at which point the U.S.-led occupation authority would end. One man threw that plan into doubt this week, Iraq's Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, a revered leader of the country's Shiite Muslims. He said to be legitimate, the transitional parliament should be chosen by a direct vote of the people. Otherwise, he said, new tensions will arise. A Sistani representative in Baghdad, Ali Muhammad al-Wa'ad, says the Shiite, Iraq's majority religious group, will do whatever Sistani says.
Iraqi people have been sacrificing for a long time, hundreds and thousands of people. Still, the people are ready to sacrifice more for the sake of their freedom. We obey Mr. Sistani.
He says Sistani wants elections with international monitoring, raising the stakes of a pending United Nations decision on whether and when to return to Iraq. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan has already said elections cannot be organized by the end of May. This week, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld laid out the balancing act facing the United States.
The question is it more important to have elections and there, in the event the experts are correct, delay the transfer of sovereignty, or to transfer sovereignty and have elections thereafter and in support of that in some way? And those are things that are going to be worked out.
But other officials say the Bush administration is desperate to hold firm on the transfer of power schedule. The July 1st date was worked out in an agreement signed 2 months ago with Iraq's U.S.-appointed interim governing council. Shia member of that council, Mowafiq al-Rubai, says any accommodation of Ayatollah Sistani's views must be made with that agreement in mind.
I think we must be able to work out a compromise. The agreement is the agreement, and we in the governing council sticking to the agreement.
The agreement doesn't define how the caucuses to select the parliament are chosen. The plan has been that the U.S. authority here, the governing council, and local advisory boards would each pick some members. Now officials are debating whether broadening caucus participation would satisfy Sistani. Iraqi political analyst Wamith Natmi says part of the problem is the U.S. fears possible election results.
The Ba'athists cannot win the elections. The Shi'i fundamentalists cannot win the election. The Sunni resistance should not win the election. So they are not giving a lot of choices for the Iraqis, which we could be put under the title of democracy.
Besides elections, another major challenge in laying out the framework of Iraq's return to sovereignty is how to split up power.
They must be listening to us. They must be.
Dr. Fakhri Al-Qaisi is the spokesperson for the Shura Council, a new organization of different Sunni Muslim groups. He's skeptical that elections are the right thing to do right now. But he does want officials to listen to the Sunnis as governing council members with U.S. advisors finish writing a law due in 5 weeks that will act as Iraq's temporary constitution.
If they don't want to discuss any problems related to Sunni with this council, the problem will be worse and there will be no government at all in Iraq.
Qaisi insists that Sunni Muslims, not Shiite, are the majority in Iraq. With no firm census figures, different groups are jockeying for advantages now. There are harsh disagreements on what to do about Kirkuk, an oil-rich city where Saddam kicked out Kurds and sent in Arabs. Kurds dominate Iraq's north. Kurdish leader Jalal Talabani.
Those who were deported must go back home. Those who were brought and imposed on the area, also they must go back home. The real Kirkuk must be regained. And when this real Kirkuk will be regained, the people of area will be free to decide. If they want to join Kurdistan region, they are welcome.
The transfer of power from the U.S. to Iraqi authorities doesn't mean the U.S. is leaving. More than 100,000 troops and a huge staff of diplomats and advisors are expected to remain. Their exact role is also scheduled to be resolved by July and could well be subject to further comments by Sistani. Emily Harris, NPR News, Baghdad.